Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
The push for 15 begins today.
15 what?
15-time Nappy Award loser.
So, good morning. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. A little overcast outside, but we're not going to let that dull our fun that we're going to have in here. At the bottom of the hour, hey, we got Danny Calametti coming in, one of the Calametti brothers. Great family, great friends, good friends, great friends of the show. He's going to be talking about stuff that he's got coming up and stuff that's happened. Stuff in the past, stuff in the future.
I got stuff in my throat, apparently. It's all of a sudden cough.
And let me tell you what. That's some stuff going around.
Because
COVID is big back in town, and I've got three friends at home with it right now.
It's fake.
And, well, I can attest to you, it's not. I can raise my right hand and swear.
All those people were in on it.
Yeah, all of them, everybody.
Yeah.
Except the ones that were dying in the hospital. But anyway, you know, this dry air, what happens, people don't realize this. And when the humidity drops here and we get this cooler air in from the north, mm-hmm. We're breathing in allergens that we're not used to breathing in here, and see, we're used to our allergens in the air.
We're used to our dirt in the air.
Yeah, but
it's the foreign dirt.
When we get that stuff out of the north that we're not used to on a daily basis, I used to be in pharmaceutical sales, folks. So
he was a drug dealer.
I know what I'm talking about.
Now, drug dealer.
Now I dealt with a lot of that for 2.5 years, and then I realized my calling was wine. Wine kept calling, said, "Hey, Mike, when you coming back?" It's like the mafia. Yeah.
You were better at booze than you were at drugs.
Something like that. So, but thanks for listening in this morning show. I still run into people that listen to us. It's amazing.
There's at least a dozen out there.
There's got to be.
Yes. You don't become a 14-time Nappy Award loser.
We're working on it.
Without a little help from the people.
Without a little help from our friends.
Yeah. Both of them.
Both of them. That's it. I love it. It just hits my heart right here.
That could just be angina.
My mama listens to y'all. I just turn the radio for my mama. She likes listening to y'all. We're glad your mama listens. We're glad you listen on the way to church and back. Thank y'all for listening. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah. So good weekend of college football.
Yeah.
Y'all got off the snide.
Yeah.
Also, Mississippi State.
That was a game.
That was awesome.
There was a couple of really
good games. Arizona State people were talking so much trash, and their coach was complaining that there's not enough hotels in Starkville. And everybody's like, well, you know, Alabama didn't have any problem finding hotels, and Georgia doesn't, and Auburn doesn't when they come to Starkville. What was the problem for y'all? What, did you wait till the night before to try and book one?
And, you brought up a good point. Before the show started, about the goalposts.
No,
I snorted that one. It was so funny.
Yeah, but then the other thing everybody pointed out is like, well, I'm glad you visited here from Tempe, and don't tell everybody, but you just had 3 or 4 of the best meals you'll ever eat in your life, didn't you? Yeah, the food was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Every place we went was just unbelievable. Yeah, and that's in Starkville. Mm-hmm. That's just little Starkville.
Little Stark Vegas.
Yeah. Starkganistan.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with them losing Coach Price a few years ago, tragically, and it was such a beloved man throughout college football. He really, because he was just so cool.
He was.
No filter.
He loved Floribama.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the Floribama.
Yeah. It was good to see them feel good again, you know, because mm-hmm. that was a tragic loss for them. They didn't
even hit hard. Oh, my God, they hit hard.
Yeah, they recently changed the rules for induction into the College Football Hall of Fame to it was like a 65% win percentage or something like that. They changed it to 64.99% because that's where he was when he passed away. Mm-hmm. And had he coached the bowl game, he would have eclipsed it. So they shouldn't have had to change a rule. They should have said this man belongs in the Hall of Fame. You just put him in the Hall of Fame. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will put anyone in the Hall of Fame as long as they're not rock and roll artists. So
some people don't want to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But tell me what you said earlier about the goalpost. Usually when a team goes in and
you're talking about that meme that we read?
Well, something like that. But usually they'll carry the goalpost out of the stadium and they'll throw it in the river or something.
Yeah, like in Nashville last year they threw it in the Cumberland River.
So where did you say they probably took it to?
No, we saw a meme that says, where are you going to take the goalpost to and start Starkville, Mississippi, the Waffle House parking lot? Now, there's something for the Arizona kids. You got to eat at a Waffle House, more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to find a Waffle House back there in Arizona.
No.
That's what Arizona fans are like. Man, after we come to Starkville, we're going to put up some real buildings there. Y'all won't be living in sheds or anything. And I commented on there. I said, business owner from Starkville just opened the first Waffle House in Tempe, Arizona. It'll be waiting for you when you get back.
Yeah. Well, love us. You know, if it's good enough for Anthony DeBourdain,
it's good enough for us.
Yeah. I love my Waffle House, man. Mm-hmm. I look at chains, how things mm-hmm. get started. There's always a first one.
Yeah.
There was one time no one had ever heard of Budweiser one time. No one had ever heard of Robert Mondavi at one time. And there's always the first
Arbor Mist. No one
Bartles
ever.
And James.
But
Waffle House. The original Waffle House is still there.
Is it Atlanta?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, somewhere around Atlanta.
Yeah, I thought it was based out of Atlanta.
It's still there. The first Crystal is still there.
You know, Atlanta is a city that I have no interest in visiting most of the time. It's one of those, I don't avoid it. It's not like St. Louis where I will try and avoid it the rest of my life if I can. But, you know, I don't get excited about going there. But at the same time, there is one place in Atlanta that I've always wanted to go, and that's the Varsity.
That's an idea.
What do you have? What do you have? What do you have? As soon as you walk in the door. And a buddy of mine took his whole family to Six Flags, and mm-hmm. he said, man, I can't afford any of these expensive Atlanta places. What do you recommend? I said, I recommended the Varsity. He came back and said, everyone loved it. Because mm-hmm. it's just fast food.
Yeah.
There's chili burgers, chili dogs, French fries, like that. But it's, you know, it's an institution. It's blocks from the Georgia Tech campus. And, you know, like I say, when you walk in, there's some dude that goes, what do you have? What do you have? What do you have?
One day in Atlanta, I got invited to a wine event up there and went up there. It was for Argyle Wine. It's out of Oregon. So went to this place. It was called the Fuse Box, Fusion Food. Mm-hmm. We had this real fancy stuff, mm-hmm. but it was like little bite sizes and all that. Wine Spectator rated it the number one restaurant in America that year. Okay. I was excited. Yeah. I was so pumped. Couldn't wait to get there. Me and the guy who owned Argyle Winery, we stepped out in the parking lot and said, Mike, I'm hungry. You still hungry? I said, yeah, there's a steakhouse down the road. So we went down the road and ate dinner. We just got through eating dinner, mm-hmm. but it was just a little small foo-foo stuff, and people were paying outrageous prices for this foo-foo stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we because went the ingredients are incredibly expensive. Well, that's why you don't get much.
That's fine. Yeah. That's fine, but I'm a mm-hmm. Southern boy. I got to fill up.
I've eaten at one restaurant in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
It was after a Rush concert, so midnight. Where do you think that was?
Waffle House.
But that's locally owned and operated in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yeah.
That was the most famous restaurant Atlanta's ever produced.
There you go.
Yeah. 251-343-0106. It actually works this week, y'all.
Hey, make up for last week.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Mike is frantically flipping through his phone trying to remember what it was he was going to talk about today.
Hey! I was just looking at that Facebook, and I saw that Billy Hyland's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wish Billy Hyland a happy birthday, buddy. Yep.
Absolutely. Yeah. Chef Billy Hyland, speaking That's of Floribama.
You know, we were just talking about waffles.
Mm-hmm.
Today is National, well, this week is National Waffle Week. The whole week.
I got a hot take. I got a hot take. I'm not turning in my Southern card because this is 100% true. Waffle House is better than IHOP in virtually every way, except IHOP has far better waffles.
What?
Far better waffles. Belgian waffles are what waffles are supposed to be. Thin waffles go in a toaster. Now, I like a Waffle House waffle, but I love an IHOP waffle.
One day.
I like them Belgians. I want it an inch thick, buddy. Like a steak.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, and the stuff that IHOP has to top theirs with, when you throw in cream cheese and some fresh fruit compote, oh, that's good. And that's, you know, you shouldn't put syrup on a Belgian waffle. It's supposed to be some kind of fruit compote, maybe some whipped cream.
When I worked at as a teenager and worked at the IHOP.
At IHOP number one in 1471.
When all the waitresses had both legs. I learned to make crepes.
Mm-hmm.
Love crepes.
Then pancake.
But, you know, it's funny. We were just talking about Waffle House and this National Waffle Week.
Yep.
But I want to get way one day after this show, one day, mm-hmm. and go down to the Iron Hand and have fried chicken and waffles.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you could just get some waffles and some fried chicken. I think it's a very cliche dish. It's definitely not bad. It's just like shrimp and grits. It's one that I never want to do because it's done to death.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm, you know, someone's going to pay me to do it, I'm going to do the best version of it I can.
Well, when Butch Cassidy's used to be open on Sundays, they had waffles, fried chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Man, it was great. Loved it.
Yeah.
I almost ate it every time when I went there for brunch on Sunday.
But the disappointing thing to me that most people do, I don't know what Roy was doing because I never went to brunch, but they'll get Eggo waffles and then put chicken tenders on it. Folks, that's not chicken and waffles.
Mm-mm. No.
It needs to be a fresh-made waffle, and that chicken had better have bones in it. You're supposed to pick it up and eat it with your hands. It's not supposed to be a knife and fork dish.
Mm-hmm.
You know who came up with it?
Who?
Frank Sinatra.
Uh-uh.
It was a
old Blue Eyes.
A late-night place in New York that was open 24 hours, and when the guys would get out of the blues clubs there in Harlem, Birdland, all those places, Frank said there's one place open. He said they're kind of changing the menu over at night to daytime, so pretty much all they have is leftover fried chicken, and then they got waffles. And that's how chicken and waffles started.
Hey.
And then one of his pals, Gladys Knight, you've heard of her, she decided to open, I think it was called Gladys's Chicken and Waffles in L.A., which is still one in L.A., I believe in Atlanta, and all of that, based on the late night meal she used to get with Frank Sinatra in Harlem. And that's where it is. Not a Southern dish. It is completely the innovation of musicians at 2 o'clock in the morning that have a buzz and need something to eat.
You eat what we got.
Yeah.
I can eat that.
You leave the syrup off. It's just a piece of bread.
Isn't it honey though?
Huh?
Isn't it honey?
No.
Some people serve.
Yeah, they do now because like I would do it. I do a hot.
But I like
what people now call hot honey, which before some dude decided to market it. Had just been around for decades down here. It was Bayou honey, and it's just and the Mike's hard honey or hot honey. It's too many steps. It's it's too, it's just only two ingredients in hot honey, hot sauce and honey, equal parts. All the other stuff he puts in there, I don't get it. It doesn't change the flavor any.
Now, what I would like, I like taking honey and butter and mixing it together, okay? And then I would like a waffle that I can fold.
Like and, a taco.
Yeah, like a taco, like a taco waffle.
I thought
waffle.
You hated tacos now.
No, not really.
No, it's to the same.
But take chicken, taking chicken tenders instead of chicken with bones in it.
Worst piece of chicken there is, tender.
Or just fillets. Yeah. And dip it in that honey butter.
Well, there's just no flavor, is why I'm saying the tenderloin. It's very tender.
Well, it depends. Your seasoning.
Right.
What's your seasoning?
That's the deal with all chicken. It's got to be.
How you season it.
Yeah. It's not like a steak. You can just put a little bit of salt on it and it'd be good.
To me, chicken has no flavor whatsoever.
Chicken the way it is served in America or raised in America has no flavor.
Because
I've had people that go to Mexico and they go, the chicken tastes so much better there. What's different? They walked outside and lopped the head off a chicken when you ordered
right
it.
Right there.
Yeah. It didn't spend its entire life in a warehouse where it never saw sunlight, never walked around, which is how we do them in the U.S. It's horrible. It's why no one will import chicken from the U.S. from us. We've got the worst chicken in the world.
Well, they're rushed to market.
Right. And then when you do that, you lose flavor. And that's why fried chicken and barbecue chicken for years.
Well, you do have more choices now to order buy chicken at the grocery store. You can get
more expensive chicken that's been done pretty much exactly the same way. But here's the thing, that no antibiotics ever is a scam, because they can't test if there's no antibiotics forever, because after 3 days it loses their system. And they still give them all the same junk, and at 4 days, they stop giving it to them. So it tests clear when they take them to market. Chicken in this country is a horrible, horrible industry on every aspect. Now, the Springer chickens, and you'll see those, Rouse's has them, I think Publix does, those are really good, but they're about twice the price of normal chickens.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for.
Be good for a special occasion, though.
I've always told people, if you really want to experience roast chicken at its best, you get what's called a capon. Are you familiar with a capon? You realize I'm doing the French thing right, where I don't actually pronounce the N. I just start to pronounce it and give up, like they do in war.
Wave the flag.
A capon is a rooster that is emasculated at birth, comes to weight really fast. Juicy, delicious, about twice the price of a normal chicken. If you're looking at $8 for a regular roasting hen, good-sized roasting hen, you're looking at $15, $16 for a capon. Worth every penny. It will be the most succulent, delicious chicken you've ever eaten in your life.
Well, I had at John Besh's place, we had rooster.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was the same thing. David Hubble probably would know that.
Yeah, probably
Chris Scherer would know that.
Yeah, probably using not John Besh, John
Foltz. I'm sorry.
I'm sitting here going, when did John Mike Foltz eat at a John Besh restaurant?
No, John Foltz's boucherie.
Yeah, well, that was probably a true free-range chicken.
Yeah.
See, a lot of times you see free-range on there, and that means for 1 hour a week they let them go outside. That's not free-range. That is them twisting free-range. Like Atlantic salmon. There's no such thing as an Atlantic salmon. There's no species of salmon called Atlantic salmon. When you see it, that is a code word that it was farm-raised in Chile, which is on the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah.
And is salmon one of the healthiest proteins you can eat? Farm-raised salmon from Chile, one of the worst things you can eat. Just chock full of carcinogens to get the flesh to turn pink. When you farm-raise salmon, it's not swimming in an ocean, and it's being active that determines white versus red flesh. Tuna swims in thousands of feet of water, very red meat. Ducks fly, geese fly, red meat. It's the same thing with salmon. If it's in a pond and it can't swim around, hundreds of miles at a time, the flesh is very opaque.
Okay.
So they put a additive into the feed that dyes the flesh of the salmon, and that additive is one of the worst carcinogens man's created. So it's very important when people ask where the salmon comes from, they're serious about their salmon.
I bet.
And it's because they know, hey, I get the good stuff, wild caught. That's an important thing. either needs to come from somewhere in the U.S. Nova Scotia is also a good source, and Scotland.
Hmm.
Those are your three best commercial wild-caught salmon.
Where else are you going to learn this stuff at, folks? Where else are you going to learn?
Google.
Another thing you learned today is National Beer Lovers Day. Mm-hmm. Get you some salmon and some beer.
And a beer lover.
But here's something.
No, it's also not today, beer day. It's beer lover.
Beer
day.
Lovers
so Day. So you got to go out and find a beer lover and buy you a beer lover.
Sell it. Buy them a beer.
Oh. And then you buy a beer lover.
And today is also National Salami Day. Where else are you going to know this stuff at, folks?
Salami, which comes from the Italian practice of salumieri.
Oh, really?
Is salumieria, which in French they call charcuterie. But it's the same thing. Salumieri and charcuterie.
I thought salumieri had something to do with fission.
Fission?
Vision.
Oh, vision? I don't know what that means.
Salumieri.
Oh, spam.
Saved by the commercial.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk to Danny Calametti about food, sport, and whatever else he's got on his mind.
I'm sure he's got plenty to talk about.
Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael, we're back on the air.
Oh, we're back? Okay.
Yeah.
We got anything important this segment today?
No, I say we just see if we can't get somebody on the phone to talk for the next 10 minutes.
That's a good idea. Let's try that. Hello, is anybody out there?
Yeah.
First time caller, long time listener.
What's up, Danny?
Well, I've got a few things, irons in the fire. You know, I try to stay busy. Sometimes keeps me out of trouble. So we got a couple things percolating here. There is a brand new club that I want to talk about, the Mobile Bay Parrothead Club. So there's a international Parrothead Association. There's some 200 clubs internationally. And there's not one in Mobile. There used to be one in Mobile, but we're reinvigorating the Mobile Bay Parrothead Club. We got a little event Wednesday night at the Maritime Museum. It's going to be from 5 to 7. I'm going to introduce folks to what is a Parrothead Club.
Mm-hmm.
It's a philanthropic group. It's really all about party with a purpose. And we're linking this into two other Mobile institutions, the Son of a Sailor Festival, which is now in its third, going to be in its third year. That's happening on September 20th. We're looking to sign up some additional volunteers for that. And then in addition to Son of a Sailor, we're hosting at the Maritime Museum because we're going to tease a little bit about what's coming in their Jimmy Buffett exhibit. That Jimmy Buffett exhibit that they're putting together, it'll be rolled out next year. But it is going to be fabulous. Some of the stuff that she's got from the family and from the Buffett folks from Margaritaville and all that type stuff. It's going to be a phenomenal tribute to our favorite son. And
yes.
It's going to be so. We'll tease a little bit about that for the Son of the Sailor. They've got VIP tickets that include a reception over there. That's going to be a little bit more of a behind the scenes look at what's coming in that exhibit. So that VIP reception is Friday the 19th. Son of the Sailor is on the 20th. That'll be centered at Cathedral Square, but it starts with a second line at 1:30 leaving from Riverview Plaza. We'll do a second line down to Cathedral Square where the music will kick off at 2:00 and it'll run till 7 p.m. They've got Ryan Balthrop and Sly Bayou kicks things off. They got the Coral Reefers, folks from the Coral Reefer bands there, all that type stuff. For Parrot Heads, we'll have a tent set up, so we'll have a base of operations there. We've got a couple other things planned, so it's going to be a great day. And so looking for folks to come out to the Maritime Museum 5 to 7, just an informal meet and greet to talk a little bit about what a Parrothead organization is all about, what we're looking to do, and what we're looking to get started. back again and celebrate, and should be fun. And then we'll talk a little bit more about some of the sailor. Look for if people want to volunteer for that. So it'll all be good. So that's my activity side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you got a food event you're supposed to be talking about. That's this Cajun cook-off on October 4th at the VFW Post. And I'm supposed to help you judge that thing. So that's over.
Oh,
over
in Fairhope, yeah.
Over in Fairhope.
He had the most lost look on his face, Danny. It was like his wife just asked him where he's been all night.
If I'd had a
wife. Yeah. It was like, I would tell you, but I have no idea where I've been all night.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I got to get more details on that so I can talk about it.
All right. Well, you can find out some details. They got a Facebook page at VFW Post 560 Fairhope. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for more teams. They need some teams to sign up. It's a fundraiser for VFW Post. And they've, I guess that they got you down as one of the judges, but apparently they wanted to supplement your skill set because they got Deborah Hodges and myself lined up to come in and help judge as well. So
Wranglers,
so,
Judge Wranglers.
Yeah. So we're going to have to come in and keep an eye on you.
I probably but need that, it.
there you go. So that is our October 4th event. And then speaking of Deborah Hodges, on Sunday, October 5th, at Green Park on Dolphin Island, we are kicking off our Sunset Sizzle Coastal Cook-Off for a Cause.
Wow, that's a lot of words.
It is. But it's a celebration of coastal food. So we're really focusing on food providers from Mobile and Baldwin County. And the star of this year's event is none other than Miss Deborah Hodges and Hall's Sausage and Meats. We're marking their 80th year in business, so we're doing a celebration of Hall's. That'll be from 12 to 4. We're looking for a few more teams to sign up. We're also going to be celebrating some of the, you know, Deborah does every community event there is, from the Cajun Fest to what's coming up over at she's doing the Cancer Society stuff. She's doing the, what's at the Fort Whiting that's just coming up?
Is that the Taste of Mobile?
No, it's, no? American Cancer Society, the wine tasting.
Yeah, she does brunch fest. She does mac. So we're going to recognize those organizations that she supports and have them come out and talk about their programs as well. It's free to the public. There'll be a People's Choice Award. There'll be a competition for who can do the best use of Hall sausage. So it'll be a fun time. It's Sunday afternoon in October. I mean, you know, it's going to be a great day to be down on the island on a Sunday afternoon in October. So,
absolutely.
So we got a few things going up, the Son of the Sailor is going to be a blast. As always. So, there's always stuff. And of course, this is festival season.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's all kicking off. So there's plenty of things happening along those lines. I might actually have to come back on and talk about a few other things, too. So.
We don't mind. We don't mind at all.
Look, going back to the Jimmy Buffett Museum.
Yeah.
The exhibit. I remember, and someone made a post about this last year, and I remember eating at the old Charlie's out on Schillinger's, and there was a mural in there.
A mural?
Mural.
Say,
along the wall.
There you go.
A picture on the wall.
It was a big old picture on the wall, and it was Jimmy Buffett, and in that picture was like all the things he sung about in this.
Oh, wow.
And somebody had this in their storage unit, and he
was wondering
what to do with it. And I suggested that he donate it or loan it to this exhibit. I don't know if he ever did that or not. I don't even remember who the gentleman was that had it. This thing was beautiful.
Put it on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah. And I thought it was painted on the wall, but no, it's actually a piece you could take off. I guess on canvas, and I never went up and touched or anything, or got close to it. But I admired it all the time when I go in there, and I said, "Wow, this is great." That's great.
Merle. You know, Mike loves him a fern bar.
There you go.
This is a long time ago. Yeah. It was. I remember it being there. And I remember somehow nature always calls between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to the restroom and I come back and I'll get on my phone for a little while. And I remember seeing the announcement that somebody posted it was that Jimmy Buffett had passed away. Mm-hmm. And I didn't believe it. And I started doing research, and then within an hour, sure enough, boom, it was out there. And so I saw things. And one other night I saw that they were going to do a second line in the Florida Keys. Ooh. So I got all over Facebook on every community page. I said, man, we better get on board here. And we need to get one going in Mobile. And sure enough, somebody picked up the reins and started doing it.
I was there.
And that was cool. That was cool. Yeah, there at the Brady River, John and that other gentleman. And
Joseph Brennan is one that's kind of heading it up now, and he's done a great job.
Who is?
It's gonna be Joseph Brennan.
Yeah, Joseph, yeah. That's the one. That's the guy.
Yeah, he's doing a great job with it. It's going to be a lot of fun. City's got behind it, mm-hmm. of course, because they recognize a good thing occasionally when it happens, and so they're jumped on board, and it's going to be an annual festival. It may actually move down once they get the riverfront fixed. It may move down there, but it's still at Cathedral Square this year, which is just a great venue for that sort of thing. The music, all that. They're starting the music a little bit later. It won't start till 2 o'clock. I think there's this little race that goes on. They're doing a Tunnel of Towers race that morning. So there's just all kind of stuff going on.
Well, you know, they want people to be able to listen to the Sip and Chew show and then be able to get down there in time enough.
All 12.
Well, Sip and Chew show is on Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
It's on Saturday, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Deborah's singing. I'm thinking of Deborah singing.
Yeah, Deborah's thing is on Sunday. That's true.
That's right.
We won't start it until after the Sip and Chew show. That's for sure. People can listen to it on their way down there.
I wish the guys at Lemoyne at the Admiral, when we that night we went there, it was August last year, wasn't it?
I think so.
A year ago, we were there and for that dinner, and I told the guys, I said, you know, Jimmy Buffett credits the Admiral's Corner, mm-hmm. and the manager of the hotel that of helping him get his start by he would let him play up in the corner there in the Admiral's Corner at night, and that's in his book. That is in his book.
Yeah,
and I wish they would put up something there, a plaque or something said
a parrot head.
A Jimmy Buffett used to play here all the time.
Just put a floor tile of a parrot head in the floor. So people are like, why is there a parrot head in the floor? Well, let's tell you. Order a drink, and I'll tell you all about it.
Well, there you go. So that looks like that may be a project for my Mobile Bay Parrot Head Club. And the thing about the Mobile Bay Parrot Head, it is not the Mobile Parrot Head. It is Mobile Bay, where our region covers the eastern shore. And,
so if you're from Stapleton, you can still come.
There you go. That'll
Everybody
work.
Has a
That'll
Jimmy Buffett story.
All right, well, Danny, please tell everybody where they can find out all this wonderful information you've given us.
Well, there is a Mobile Bay Parrot Head Facebook page, and there's a Son of the Sailor Facebook page as well. So those will probably be the best two sources of information about these two things. And then there's Alabama Coasting. You'll have information about the Sunset Sizzle as well, the Alabama Coasting Facebook page. Those are the best sources of information. Or Danny Calametti at Alabama Coasting as well.
I was about to say the best source of information is Danny Calametti.
That'll work too.
All right. Have a good day, Danny.
Thank you, Danny.
All right. Take care, guys.
One more segment, folks, and we'll be right back.
Banjos them are ringing and the dock is singing down on Mobile Bay. Stars are brightly shining, and my heart is pining for the South each day.
Get the latest news on Auburn, Alabama, and USA sports news.
And snap, Milrow scoops it up, and he's trying to make something out of nothing, and he is in! Touchdown, Alabama!
Sports with Dalton Orwig, only on Mobile Mornings. To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Well, Michael's talking about a ruckus.
Woo, Lordy. man, I tell you, Danny just wore me out. He got so much going on. I think I'm gonna get.
You need a nap.
I think I'm gonna get involved in the Parrothead stuff.
Yeah, I was about to say that sounds right up your alley.
It does. You know, better than yacht.
Well, a lot cheaper than Mardi Gras balls.
Well, it starts somewhere, you know. It's got to start somewhere. So
eventually, years down the line, there'll be a Parrothead Mardi Gras Society. There'll be a parade that's nothing but Jimmy Buffett.
Well, let me tell you, 1 year at KOR's, they had they named all their floats after Jimmy Buffett.
Kings
songs.
Of Righteousness?
No.
I don't know what it stands for.
KOR is Knights of Revelry, and they have their ball. They have their parade during the day, and their ball is just more look more like going to see a horse race because they wear the women wear the big hats and the guys wear a coat and tie. Anyway, but Jimmy Buffett was on one of the floats, and all the blooms they were throwing were songs in the life of Jimmy Buffett on one side and then KOR on another. Mm-hmm. And I have some of those doubloons, as a matter of fact.
All right, let me throw this out at you. And, Steve, you're up for this answer, too, if you would like to. Favorite Jimmy Buffett song?
Biloxi.
Okay.
Down around Biloxi. He didn't write that. He just recorded it. Yeah. But it was a great, great song. Love it.
Hmm.
What you got, Steve?
I got line one and line two. Which one would you like to go for first?
Whoever called first.
Well, one is the first number in line.
All right, number, let's see, we got Paul and Grand Bay, shrimp and crawfish. Go ahead, sir.
Sounds like a great combination. What you got for us, Paul?
Oh, I got a question and a challenge for both of y'all today.
Okay.
Y'all both heard of crawfish boils and shrimp boils.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, at a crawfish boil, not everyone, but some people, they will separate the head from the body, suck the head, throw the head away, peel it, eat it. How come I've never seen anybody grab a shrimp head, rip it off, and suck the inside out, throw it down, and then peel the shrimp? And well, I'll let y'all go.
I will tell you this. There is a sushi dish called sweet shrimp where they steam the shrimp tail, put it on rice, pretty basic. They then take the head, dip it in tempura batter, and deep fry it. And you eat the head like that. One of the best things you'll ever eat. Tastes like soft shell crab.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
So there
now
you go.
Now I got the answer. I never knew. I've seen people suck crawfish heads, but I've never seen anybody rip off the shrimp head and squeeze it and suck it like they do a crawfish.
It doesn't have the fat in it that the crawfish does. And that's there what you're go, really going so, for on the crawfish.
There you
head.
Go.
You're sucking that fat layer out of there.
Okay. Now I have my answer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
All right, Cookie.
Uh-oh. What'd we do wrong, Cookie?
Everything is usual.
Okay.
Okay.
It's Mike's fault.
he always says it's your fault.
He's right.
And y'all both always say it's my fault. Okay, anyway, that's why we get along so well. Just some suggestions here. Jimmy Buffett, I mean, come on, it's Jimmy Buffett, right? Mm-hmm. But we also got Wet Willie.
Yeah.
Got those folks. And frankly, Grayson Caps really impresses me.
Oh, yeah.
Let's think about all of these people. For those who, some of us might have to be holograms. Some of us might have to be just part of a light show or whatever. There's plenty of material to draw from. There's plenty of live musicians performing on a physical sense to draw from. Let's think about what that Mardi Gras, brouhaha we want to have is going to be coming on.
Well, you make a very good point there,
Lord.
Yeah, we need to get a better connection with her.
Yeah.
Her phone's bad.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's got one of them 25-foot cords stretches from the, kitchen to the bedroom.
The spirally cords that you used to have grandma's. Yeah.
And you had a 100 knots in it.
Yeah. I think that's it.
Yeah, but to her point, Mobile has a really nice musical tradition that goes back well before Jimmy Buffett. Albert Murray, who's the greatest author to ever come from Mobile, he's world famous except in Mobile. But he wrote a book called Far Away to a Very Old Place about him visiting Mobile again for the first time in 30-something years. His publisher wanted to write a book about it. And he talks about when he was a little kid growing up on Magazine Point, he said, Royal Street, every club had one of the most famous jazz musicians in the world playing in it every weekend. He said he would slip in the back door because he wasn't allowed to go in the front door back then. And Cab Calloway would be in this club. Then he'd go to the next club and Louis Armstrong would be playing. And he'd go to the next one, Ella Fitzgerald would be playing. He'd go to the next one and Duke Ellington would be playing. And that was all in downtown Mobile in the 30s. And so, yeah, we have a rich history musically here. But without a doubt, Jimmy Buffett is far and away the most famous musician to ever come from Mobile.
I think so.
Yeah. No one has ever.
Now we got a great band, the Rick Clay Strays, from here, and they're selling out lots worldwide.
Isn't Shelby Lynn from this area too?
Yeah, Shelby Lynn is. Yeah. She is. Shelby Battle of Battery.
But
she didn't quite make it as far as I'd hoped.
She's doing good. She's a very good. Talented
woman. She left the Nashville scene, went to the Memphis scene, and did a lot better.
Yeah. Well, there was some backstage issues.
Well, there's some issues in Nashville, especially back in then, because she was coming on when I was in Nashville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were not as friendly to some people as they weren't to others.
Yeah. A lot of unfortunate.
Yeah. Indigo girls failed miserably in Nashville because they just simply didn't want to hear them.
Yeah. Right.
And what did the Indigo girls do other than having about 14 platinum albums?
Yeah.
Is they wrote a song called Nashville that was a top 40 hit talking about their problems in Nashville.
Right. Well, Jimmy Buffett had a song about Mobile. Mm-hmm. If I had a saxophone. And it was like he's never going to give another interview to radio stations in Mobile because they wouldn't play his music.
Yeah. Now, back to what I was asking. Steve, what was your favorite Jimmy Buffett?
I'm just going to be honest. I was never a Pearhead.
Yeah.
I
didn't really get into it till later in life. I was not a fan in high school.
Yeah, I was. My issue was always, I couldn't understand the difference between the Stones and the Beatles. I was always a Beatles fan. And then when I got older,
the Beatles were talented.
Yeah.
The Stones were okay.
Yeah. Well, and again, it just depends on your level of life.
Right.
I'd have to go back through.
But most people have at least one song of Jimmy's that they like.
Cheeseburger's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most famous. But I know there's better.
But you dip into some stuff like Biloxi that Mike brought up. That's not one of the more well-known songs. My favorite song is He Went to Paris.
Yeah, I love that.
That is a great song.
And it's love that.
True story about Jimmy meeting an old guy at a bar in Key West, and the guy told him his life story. And it started with him going to Paris to fight in World War II.
Well, Come Monday.
That's the one I was trying to
say. Come Monday was, that was true. He said that's the song that saved his life because things weren't doing well. Mm-hmm. So. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Tip your servers on your tip, and above all else.
You know a great tip? Provolone.
Provolone, yeah, I'll take that.
Cowpokes will come from the near and far when you throw a few ribeyes on the farm. Roberta Duran ain't two before a five, cause it gives a mighty man an awful lot of mighty life.